Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kaveh Kavusi, and I'll be discussing a diverse array of subjects that span from my experiences in the emergency room to the furthest reaches of the universe. I'll be hosting guests, inviting illuminating conversations that at times may challenge ways of thinking or being, while also nurturing curiosity, meaning, and awe into life. Please consider subscribing, liking, saving, or sharing this podcast with any of your friends or family if it feels right for you. Thank you for taking the time. Let's dive into the podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to season two of the Layered Prescriptions podcast. I'm your host, Kaveh Kavusi. I am a physician that practices emergency medicine, and I am in my fifth year of practice. This is the second season of this podcast, so I'm thankful for all the guests that did come on for the first season. And I thought that before getting into the next season, it would be very important for myself first to be honest with anyone who does choose to listen in a delayed gratification manner, because this does not hit like the rest of the content that we see online intentionally, because I want to disincentivize the psyche for seeking what can this do for me, how can this entertain me. Want this to be human dialogue that interlaces with story and some education, and then other things that we fascinatingly brainstorm on things that are intermittently nonsensical. And let that be the place where wonder, awe, curiosity can arise. And and if there's places for us to be honest with ourselves where we need some grievances to acknowledge where we were being conditional or even unaware, now we bring some awareness to that. And that's the whole process that I think I seek to experience first within myself, and then intermittently, I guess, demand from the rest of the world as well too. And I think that's why it's so challenging at times when I am witnessing what's going on in the world and trying to make sense of it myself. And so I'd love for you to take a little bit of an acknowledgement first of acknowledging where you are in your life. And if you're feeling things that are coming up for it, maybe setting a precedent for yourself to commit to communicate with others regularly, at least with yourself first, with greater honesty, so you don't have to cope as much. And when we are lacking that capacity to be honest first with ourselves or with someone in our immediate vicinity, we have this tendency to cope, and that coping can go until the end of life. And I don't want that for any of us. I'd rather honesty be at the expense of a few minutes or days, weeks, even months or years of discomfort that arises as a result of that, but at least it finally brings honesty, truth, and integrity forward. And so I'm wishing that more for society as a whole and for the individual first. And I think there's going to be more need for that than ever now, because we are, as we share content the way that we do, this potentially reaching Antarctica, maybe it gets sent off to space at some point. We are global citizens now, and this is the first time that our society, our animal creature that we are, species, sorry, is living as a global society within the confines of division for where people were territorial, communal, for millennia. And that breeds a different type of acknowledgement of how we were conditional before, how we are divisive in the name of survival and then thriving, where the opportunity is here now for us to really be in celebration of acknowledging that we live on this beautiful, what is it called? Sphenoidal ellipse. I think I'm saying that right. Or spherical ellipse that has, we see it as a sphere, but it has a little bit of a tilt to it. Someone can correct me if they want to, but that's not my specialty, and I think I've come across the word maybe once or twice in my entire life experience, and now here I am dropping it into a, a phrase. But we acknowledge that we live on this planet now. People were persecuted before for daring to say that the Earth revolves around the sun. Our egocentricity of the species has been the world revolves around us. And this is the first time and it's been progressively more, and I'm sure it's going to get a lot more effective with the tools that we have to demonstrate this unique opportunity we have that's called life on this planet. And so in what we witness right now about persistent transgressions, aggressivity, war, the nastiest stuff that humanity continues to uphold, there's a deep frustration there, because this is, but it's also an understanding that we haven't had the opportunity as a global community yet to graduate from this, to grow from it, to be contemplatively pausing all of the conditions we have and work to cultivate approaches, spaces, permission within and without to others as well too, to process those conditions that create and uphold separation. If someone identifies with a particular race or religion or culture, their tendency is to have an us and them that continues to exist. And our psyche is beautifully wired to, at a conscious, subconscious, and unconscious level, uphold this. I am here because I'm not there. You are there because I'm over here, and so forth. And where this can breed opportunities to practice coexistence and cohabitance, and camaraderie, knowing that, whoa, in this entire vastness of space that we're trying to explain, and in this galaxy called the Milky Way, there's this beautiful blue dot, as Carl Sagan said, that is floating in space in a physically detectable, predictable route around the sun every year. There are these things called life sustaining animals and different types of living beings on that blue dot that try to survive. And it's, they're just trying to figure it out. But when they can't figure this out, there's this thing called pain that guides them and is potentially inflicted on another when someone is trying to maintain their capacity for survival. Now, in my line of work, I see people who are accidentally hurt, because that happens and it's inherent in life. And there's people who are intentionally hurt by others, and that happens too. And then there are accidents and pain. Sorry, there's pain that can arise from just the life experience itself that we see with people, sometimes in latter years, earlier years, certain conditions. And we are putting efforts and strides towards the minimization of that pain. My entire specialty in emergency medicine and a lot of other specialties seek to maintain the integrity of the person who in that moment is in the role of a patient, while we're in the role of a caregiver, whether it's physician, nurse, PSW, which is a personal support worker, community support worker, social worker, mental health supporter, whatever that role is that's in service of supporting the health of others, we try and minimize that pain, or at least find a way to alleviate it. But if we were to pull out further and look at where society still has a lot of space to reclaim, it's on a societal level where our species comes to dissolve those separations and start embracing them as the beauties that they are. Now, I know I'm not saying that clean, and it's difficult because you have different layers of what comes in contact with one another. But at its core, what it ends up doing is it values certain life more and devalues other life differently. And everyone has their own definition of it, but chances are, if we come here with a relative clean slate in a body that has primed reflexive responses to things that we are supposed to be fearful of, that we've been epigenetically wired for, there's this environmental component of condition that is created by those who are there before us, who are meant to create safety for, at least if I'm speaking purely of humans, how do we assert that the world that I'm living in is safe? And it's roughly for the first 6 or 7 years that the human being is completely dependent on others in order to say, am I safe in this world? Can you take care of me? Some people laugh at certain animals that after days, they're clumsy and they're falling around. They can't take care of themselves. A human is completely incompetent for many years and completely dependent. But that's a beautiful thing to be embraced, especially if there's a continuity of integrity that's being passed on and humility as well too. As is the case, multiple conditions exist within different cultures, different regions, different races, different socioeconomic statuses, different genders, that rather than their differences being embraced as just part of their unique expression, there is a tendency towards their unique expression. There is a tendency towards it creating almost a fence, a barrier of separation, me from you, ultimately us and them. And some of those conditions are willing to survive through whatever that condition is at the expense of whatever's necessary towards the other, whoever them is. And as there's a greater level of brilliance or acknowledgement for a human being to circumnavigate their own capacity for the conditioning, there are more effective tools that are being utilized by family members who are well-intentioned, certain religious groups, thought leaders, people who are in governing decision-making positions, royalty, whatever it may be the case, people who are guiding others or making decisions for others, either voted in or born into, whatever it may be, or just parental, or even in schools, there is certain things that are taught, and to the degree that a lot of them were instilled at younger ages, where there was a foundational implementation of certain age groups, and ideologies that were happening at that particular age, it will be more difficult for the human in many instances to see outside of that lens, because that's what the lens of that condition seeks to uphold. So it sees that particular world in us and them. And if you stay in certain areas that was the birthplace of many of those ideologies, beliefs, and conditions, and you only see those types of people who are considered us and them, that upholding has the highest likelihood of becoming more chronic, which is more long-term and more difficult to see the world in any other way. And to the degree that any human being sees through those conditioned lenses, there's a strong tendency for unawareness. And what's interesting is there are, as we become more and more of a global community, there are these places, certain metropolitans, certain places in the world where you have the coming together of many different cultures, and they get to practice where their culture, their conditioning, their upbringing, the barriers that they were told are needing to be upheld to create separation in order to survive get re-questioned. And they're in certain metropolitans like where I'm currently at in Toronto, and there are many other places where they then bring these all together, and then we're asked to do this social experiment, which is closer to what the world should be, which is coexistence, cohabitation, acknowledgement of one another's beliefs, ideologies, curiosities, culturation, childhood, and have them reconsider it all in the name of integrity. Integrity and humanity, and working to see one another as us and less as them in a divisive way that brings any less value to other or tries to bring self up in any other way is the work that all of us should be doing. And in certain places like here, you get to practice that to a greater degree. You have so many different cultures that are living in proximity of one another. I can go to a dinner and have 8 different groups of people from all wakes of the world coming together and not having any sense of separation that's there. It is harmonious. And this is what the world can be, provided we choose to practice exploring what those conditional separations are, so that lens can shift. Greater awareness emerges as a result. You have a lot of people who learn for the first time where they have been well-intended, but unable to see other as anything other than other. And that type of, I'm trying to think of the word here, because I remember that Mark Twain quote that spoke about prejudice dissolving when you are in the presence of other. As you travel to other places, you become humbled. So our work is deeply ingrained in needing to resolve the conditions that create separation and do not have a person seeing, because then we're blind to our conditioning. And that's when transgressions have the highest likelihood of being inflicted upon others and potentially on self as well too. If others potentially start seeing themselves as other and they cannot, and they're feeling apart from their group for a prolonged period of time, they're potentially willing to hurt themselves. But it's a pain that they're seeking to alleviate, not anything else. I feel like I'm trailing into this, and it's important to acknowledge that there's a lot of people who are decision makers around the world who have a population that they're responsible for, that have people that are brought up within it who are now adults, even elderly, who have opportunities to be guiding their younger generations to have greater capacity to be aware, less conditional, less separational, and more inclusive. And it's not happening yet. And so I think we need to have a few moments of snapping back into it, where we recognize that we are global citizens that have humanity that has equal value independent of where you're born. The sheer gift of life itself is a sacred thing to be upheld, and it's not happening to the degree that it can and should. Every single person who is at the butt end, the receiving end of a transgression, wants to have their life experience seen and appreciated as sacred. And maybe they haven't been taught that. That's the thing. That's one of the aspects of the conditionality that needs to be resolved. Because if someone is transgressing, hurting anyone else in any other way, limiting their life, causing some type of pain that then is held for a prolonged period of time and maybe passed on to the next generation as a result of the depth of pain that was inflicted by someone else who's trying to uphold their own conditionality, that's a non-negotiable no for something that needs to continue to be upheld. That needs to be addressed, resolved, and then a person works towards coexistence, cohabitation, and greater humanity with integrity of one another upheld and the sacredness of life remembered and never forgotten. And it's deeply frustrating when that's the case. Now, how can we remember that and not forget? It's by practicing it, by being in the presence of others in such a way that we allow those conditions to be witnessed and for them to be safe to be finally dropped. The armor that is in conditioning, which are protective mechanisms, can come down. They can be put to the ground and said, I needed to use this once, but no more. I see you as the same as me. The people who have the greatest level of division stand to gain so much by having none of their tools of separation available and have just their presence and meeting eye to eye, and then allowing a space for that contemplative process of the most difficult, heinous transgressions that have happened between their groups to finally be addressed, and making a commitment that is non-negotiable that it doesn't happen again. And then every practice is put forward towards using one another so hard. You are as much me as I am you. And if people haven't had opportunities to practice this level of non-separation, now's the time. Now is the opportunity. And with technology, the way that we have it right now, the technology can be implosive to one another that ends up eliminating the opportunity for connection at the expense of upholding a condition that if you were to peel that away, most people would feel disgusted with what they've been upholding up until now. But they can be forgiven to a certain degree because they were unaware. But that empathetic component that makes us human, that has sympathy intertwined everywhere, is necessary for us to be applying more and more here. Otherwise, we're going to have humans who are feeling powerless, helpless, hopeless. And if they have any element of that that's present, they'll just separate from having any inkling of connection to that type of thing that needs their time and attention in a diligent manner. And they will reach the places that have them end up, and they'll reach the places that have them end up coping. And that type of coping can be very, very relieving, and they'll find refuge there rather than peace. And when you are in refuge too long, refuge in the way that I'm using it is you find places of comfort or places that you get away from pain. In the minimization of discomfort, if you stay there too long, you become blunted as a human as well too. I think the most effective humans are those who find places of intermittent comfort, but they don't stay there. They remain adaptable. So they can be adaptable in this environment and that environment and this environment and that environment. That includes environments of the psyche where there's certain places that we don't want to go, things we don't want to think about, but then you choose to go there and think about it anyway. And if you are supported by others who are non-judgmental, non-critical, non-hostile, non-threatening, as you are going through it, those conditions have the greatest opportunity to be reevaluated, reconsidered, and potentially resolved with a new definition coming through. And hopefully it's not one that hardens you. It's one that brings greater connectivity to one another and with yourself. Your heart will feel it more, not the armor that's surrounding it. Now, how do we bring the world to this? If you have a gun that's drawn towards anyone's face, their survival mechanisms are right there. And right now we have a lot of tools that are so powerfully detrimental to the existence of one another that in general, what those say is, I don't know how to bring coexistence and unity between you and I. And so I'm going to destroy it because I prioritize survival over that. And so I'm going to have to create certain mechanisms that create separation where I don't feel the thing that I'm doing. Because if I were to feel it, it would devastate me. And that's what a lot of people are asked to do. And then they uphold that. And then the people that they're around have a social consensus of the same perspective of belief that is to the detriment of them, because those end up being enablers, not people who are bringing them to truth or honesty within themselves, because they're saying, hey, you're going to uphold this difficulty to see yourself, and then you're not going to judge me for it, and I'm going to offer you the same thing in return. That's not awareness. That's not unity. That's not integrity or humanity. That's honestly like a weakness of humanity that stands to gain so much to be reclaimed as well too. And it starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with these types of conversations. Now, this podcast is going to be going into many directions this season. I'm going to be talking about mental health. We're going to be talking about challenges in people's lives. And we're going to also be talking about worldly occurrences as they happen with me, my perspectives, and then with guests as they become available. What I would like to update everyone, at least, is I had an episode on the death of illusions with my friend Carl Cote, and he unfortunately passed away from his cancer. And it affected me for a while, and I felt quite blunted in my life experience. And I felt frustrated for a while at work when I would see people complaining about what seemed to be benign things that, of course, is relative. But I felt very frustrated because my friend put everything forward, and he was in the most profound of pains until the very end, and there was a deep grievance there. I went to see him on his deathbed, and I held him as he was the shell of the man that he once was and that I knew him as. And I gave him a big, beautiful hug at the end. And it was a timeless moment for me because I looked him in the eyes as I held him close, and I could smell a very familiar smell of someone who hasn't been able to take care of themselves to the same degree. It's not that he smelled bad. There was just a coarse scent of life that's fighting to sustain itself there that I could sense. And he said, I really hope I get to see you again, brother. It was one of those timeless moments that are forever going to be with me. As I walked out of that room, feeling that I might never see him alive again. And when I extrapolate that, you know, to my human experience, I see the maintenance of sanctity of life that was there. That then, in my world, as I'm trying to make sense of my friend passing, we have so much heinousness that does not honor the sacredness of life around there that Carl really stood for. And he stood for bringing unity to humans, having greater harmony with one another, bringing resolution to where people who are decision makers acting out of integrity. This needs to be resolved. This is a human quality that is solvable. It demands the people who are decision makers to reconsider what they define as power and survival and see others, the people that they're making decisions on behalf of, as the same as them. Walk their shoes, like Siddhartha, Hernan Hesse. Read that book. Everyone should. And I felt that I had some guilt for a while, carrying on as I was with my frustrations. That has me holding him in my mind and in my heart as I move forward with my life and with things like this podcast that have opportunities to connect with people in different ways. I want this to be a place where conversation can ignite and reflections can be birthed within you, some that may have been there and needing to be so for a while. And now you have an opportunity to reflect on it again. Again, we're not going to be reaching into the pockets of instant gratification. Things are going to be delayed. I want this podcast to be contemplative, and that's why it's called Layered Prescriptions in the first place. The world that we envision as a possibility that's utopic is possible. We have work to do. And this conversation on this podcast is one example of many where that can be the case. But I hope that these type of conversations can disseminate into where your circles are, where your life is, where you find yourself, and where you find yourself hiding from the world and hiding from life. Maybe take a pause from that so you can see and feel yourself again and see the world at its state, because it may need you. And it definitely benefits from having you being a member that wants to unite with it and be a part of it in the sacredness of life. And I hope you're upholding your life that way and to that degree. Thank you for taking the time to be here with me. I look forward to divulging into many subjects throughout this season. And please, if you feel any subjects that you'd like for me to expand on, I'm here in service of you and in collaboration with you. Have a beautiful day. Consider leaving a review and rating the podcast. I'm not going to tell you what to rate. You do as you feel. And please, before this podcast ends and you go on to the next thing, take 3 to 5 minutes in silence to allow some of the information that you heard to be contemplated, digested, and integrated. To the degree that every experience has a moment to actually have it be processed, it has a greater chance for it to be instilled into your life. I wish the rest of your day and week is beautiful. Take care, remain curious, and don't forget to play.